So since today is Baptism Sunday, I thought, you know, it's also our Storytelling Sunday, I thought we'd start with a story. And I want you to look up at the screen. All right. This is my father-in-law. All right, kids, if you don't know what a father-in-law is, that's the guy a boy has to ask before he's allowed to date his daughter, okay? So that's me, too. So this is my father-in-law. This is my wife Buffy's papa. That was his name to almost everyone. Everybody just called him Papa. You see, Papa was a follower of Jesus. And he was like a papa to a lot of people. I met Papa when I was 18 years old. He's the reason I went back to school and finished school. Papa was faithful to Jesus. And God used him to set me on a path to get a good education, a good job, to marry my wife, to build a family and grow in my faith. You know, Papa was also an aerospace engineer. He was part of the team that helped land people on the moon. He was a lot younger back then. He may have had some more hair. He worked on top secret projects too. But Papa was a very down-to-earth kind of guy. He was always helping people in need. And that's why he was called Papa. Always kind, always ready to help. Papa was like a papa to a lot of people. Now, and that beautiful girl right there on the right, that's his granddaughter, right? That's Buffy when she was about 18 years old. And she became my amazing wife. But there's something you might not know, okay? Buffy's not Papa's biological daughter. That means she was born into a different family, one not related to Papa. She was adopted into Papa's family when she was a little girl. And there's an awesome rescue story behind that. Now, before I go any further, I want to let you know something. I asked Buffy if I could share her story with you this morning, and she was glad to, because what she lived through points such a clear picture of what baptism really means. So with her blessing, here it is. Okay? You see, Buffy was living in a very tough situation when she was a kid. She didn't have a loving family growing up. She was going through a lot of hard things, being sent from house to house, and she wasn't being treated very well. You know, she was not safe. It got so bad that the government got involved, and they had to find her a new safe place to live. So Papa had happened to be visiting the area that she lived in when she was a kid, and he had previously met Buffy through family members, and he liked Buffy. And when he found out she needed a place to live, he offered to take care of her. He offered to take her home. So she came to live at Papa's house. Now, Papa was already an older man when he did this. Now, even though Papa had met Buffy before, you know, she didn't really know him or his wife, her new granny, very well. Buffy was adjusting to a new family where, for the first time, she was safe. But because of everything she had gone through, whenever she thought something was wrong or wasn't sure about a situation, she would hide because she was scared. She was only about 7 years old, and Papa would have to go find her and tell her, "It's okay, you're safe now." Now, this was a chance for little Buffy to heal, to recover from her past. And she got to know Papa, Granny, and her new aunts and uncles, and things got much better. And eventually, she changed her last name. She became a Morris. Now, the name change was not just ink on a piece of paper somewhere. It meant she had entered a brand new family. Her identity was no longer defined by her past or by who she used to be. She was a Morris now. And Papa, and with Papa, she was safe. Right? He would never hurt her. She belonged. She got all the benefits of being a Morris, and whenever those old fears crept back in, fears of her old life from the past, that's the truth that she could hold on to. I'm a Morris now. Buffy had stepped into a whole new world, a fantastic point of view, no one to tell her no, or where to go, or what, wait a second, those are the 11, how did that get into my sermon here? Let's try that again. Those were the Aladdin lyrics. Buffy had stepped into a whole new world, a new life opened up to her, a new family, a new identity, a new name. Buffy's story is a powerful one. And the reason I'm sharing it is that in so many ways, it's a metaphor of the gospel itself. Think about where she started. Not safe, not home, stuck in a situation she could never get herself out of, with no way to fix it on her own. And that's exactly where the Bible says every one of us starts. Scripture says we're slaves to sin, trapped, lost, unable to rescue ourselves. But then a rescuer came. Papa didn't wait for Buffy to clean herself up. He came for her, and bringing her home cost him something. That's the gospel. Jesus came for us while we were still all stuck, and he paid the price with his own life. And the best part is that Buffy didn't just get rescued, she got a home, a name, a family, a papa. The Bible has a word for that. And it's one of the words it uses for salvation. Adoption. You know, we're not rescued, we're not just rescued from something, we're brought into something. Into God's family. We belong to him now. It's a story for every one of us who has been baptized, and everyone who ever will get baptized. Believer's baptism is the story of you being adopted into God's family. Every one of us will have this experience when we come to Christ. And so, out of his grace, God made a commitment to broken people in a broken world. He came among us as Jesus. He lived that kind of perfect human life that you and I could never live. And on the cross, he took it all on himself. All the pain, all the sin, all the punishment, all the evil of the whole world. And he carried it down into the grave. He died the death that should have been ours. But God's love, his grace for a broken people and a broken world, is stronger than death. Amen? Amen. Yeah. That's what we're celebrating here today. The good news of the gospel is that the new life that Jesus received after the grave, that new resurrection life, he opens it up. He opens up a whole new world, a whole new kind of life for everyone who will put their faith in him, for everyone who recognizes that he died on their behalf. The good news is that there is grace offered, there is forgiveness, there is a whole new chance to be a whole new kind of human being, one who follows the way of Jesus. Now, following the way of Jesus is not just copying him from the outside, like putting on a costume and trying hard to act like Jesus. We can never pull that off, and God never asked us to. The good news is bigger than that. God changes you from the inside. He gives you a brand new heart, and he puts his spirit within you. The Bible calls this the spirit of adoption. The spirit who lets you look up to God and call him dad, daddy, father. Now, this is a word picture. It's a metaphor. It's another way of telling a story. When we place our faith in Jesus, it's like Papa and Buffy. He's inviting you into a new family that lives by a whole new definition of life and goodness. The family rules have all changed. My identity is no longer defined by my past or my sin or my failures. It's defined by Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection for me. I'm not enslaved to that old way of life anymore. It's adoption. It's the gospel. And so when Jesus invited people into this new relationship, he wanted people to join his family and become his followers. And he wanted them to have an experience that welcomes you into his family, a kind of initiation. And that moment is what we witnessed here today. It's baptism. Jesus made it very clear in the book of Matthew. In his final words, he said, "All authority has been given to me on earth, on heaven and earth, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, kids, if you're following along on your sheets, that's today's verse. So write that down. Jot that down on your sheet. That part where Jesus says, "All authority," it's like Jesus saying, "Hey, I'm the one in charge now, not your old slave master, not your past failures." He's saying, "Let's go, let's save more people, bring them into our family, teach them what it means to live in our new family. Everything I did to set them free from that old life of slavery, announce the good news, my death and resurrection, so that they too can be invited in, given grace, and welcomed in." Now notice what Jesus connects here together in the Great Commission. He says, if someone is going to become my follower, a disciple, a learner, someone who unites their life to his, he joins it right together with this symbol of baptism. He didn't want his followers just to have a mental checkbox that, hey, okay, I put my faith in Jesus, done, let's go about my day. He wanted people to also have this symbol, this experience that brings them into the new family. So why water? What's the connection? Right, the connection goes back to Jesus' roots as a rabbi, a Jewish teacher. And those roots run deep into the storyline of the Old Testament. So the defining story for the ancient Israelites was this, that they were slaves in Egypt to a harsh taskmaster. But God rescued them, freed them by the blood of the Passover lamb. That was the night God rescued them out of Egypt. And he led them towards the promised land. But first, what did they have to do? They had to go through water. They were at an impasse, and there was a sea in front of them. And they passed through the Red Sea. Now, kids, I want to see you kids here. I want you to picture this. Giant walls of water. They should be on the screen there. God's people walking through on dry ground. Can you put your arms up? I want to see you guys put your arms up like this. Everybody, put your arms up. Yeah. Now say, "It's good." All right, it's good. And here's what happened, right? In that water, the sea ended up coming back down on their old slave masters, the ones who were chasing them. And that old life of slavery, it was finished. It was done. It was gone. The Israelites came out on the other side a free people. They had rejected Pharaoh as their master, and now they belonged to God as their king. Not a harsh master, but a father who loved them and had a good plan for them. So passing through the water had become a symbol to Israel. And a symbol is just a picture of something that represents something bigger, right? It's a picture of rescue, of becoming a brand new people. We used to be slaves. We were rescued through the water. We came out of the other side as God's redeemed people. His rescued people, freed by his grace, freed into his future. This became a powerful symbol for Israel. And many years later, a wild man shows up at a river. Kids, it's riddle time, okay? Who lives in the wilderness with no house, no electricity, no TV, no internet, no Amazon delivery service? Who wears clothes made out of camel hair and eats grasshoppers, right? None other than John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. John came on the scene preaching a message of baptism, of repentance of sins for forgiveness of sins. And he invited people down to the Jordan River, the very same river that the Israelites crossed when they entered into the Promised Land. Rich people came, poor people came, tax collectors came, even soldiers came. And John told them, you know, if you have two coats, share one with someone who has none. If you have food, share it with someone else. Tax collectors, stop cheating people. Soldiers, don't bully people for money. Be content with your pay. You see, what John is teaching here is this new family life. He's already, before Jesus is on the scene, he's already preaching the same message that Jesus is going to preach. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't he? John was calling Israel back to God. Go back into the river, come out and give yourselves all over again to God. And get ready. Let go of all the things that enslave you, because God is about to do a new big thing. When they crossed the Red Sea, God started a new big thing, and God was planning another big thing. And what's that new big thing? Well, Jesus himself came down to the river to get baptized. To get baptized by John. Now, I want you to think about that. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for people turning away from their sin. But Jesus had no sin to turn from. So why would he step in to that water? I believe it's because he stepped in with us. When we're in the pit, Jesus climbs in the pit. And he's with us. You know, he entered into our suffering and he entered into our world. He got right down there in the water alongside us. He told John it was to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus came up out of the water, heaven opened, the Spirit came down like a dove, and the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Imagine that. Everybody is around. Everybody's hearing this voice. And this voice says, "This is my Son." That's the new thing. God had come in the person of the Son. He came to break us free from the old masters underneath all of this, all of our suffering, right? Sin and death itself. So Jesus took this old symbol of water, and through it, and through his own life, death, and resurrection, he filled it with brand new meaning, right? The early Christians ended up taking this symbol of baptism, going down to the in the water, like passing through the Red Sea, and they kind of applied a new meaning to it. And for them, it came to mean something very amazing. Joining your life to Jesus' life. His death becomes your death. Going down into the water is like being buried with Jesus. And coming up out of the water is like being raised with Jesus. The way he came out of the tomb. Raised to a new life, it's being like transferred into a new family. Your life is now bound up with his. He's given you a new identity. See, one of the clearest passages about this is in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 6. So Paul begins with this question. So Paul imagines somebody asking, okay, God loves showing grace to people who don't deserve it, right? Okay. You guys might know people like this too. Hey, so I can just go on doing whatever I want, and God will show me more grace, right? And he'll get even more glorified because he's in the business of showing grace to people who don't deserve it, right? You know, that's called playing the grace card. And Paul says, are you kidding me? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Are you out of your mind? If that's where your mind goes when you hear the good news, you've missed the whole point. Don't you know you've been rescued from slavery? Why would a free person act like a slave back in Egypt again? You pass through the water. You're done with that. Your life is now bound with Jesus' life. You don't belong to that old life of slavery anymore. Playing the grace card, God will forgive me so I can do whatever I want, is like one of those freed Israelites who walked out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground, going to the far bank, and then turning around and saying, you know what? I think I'll head back to Egypt and make some bricks. You know, it makes no sense. Okay, but here's what Paul actually said. I'm not putting words in Paul's mouth. Okay, what Paul actually said was, what shall we say then? Dot, dot, dot. He didn't say the dot, dot, dot part. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, this is really important. Baptism is not a magical ritual. The water doesn't actually save you. Christine, who was just baptized today, was not saved by getting wet. She was saved the moment she put her faith in Jesus. And what she did, sorry, let me take a little sip here. She was saved the moment she put her faith in Jesus. And what he did when he rose again, that's when she was rescued. So what's baptism then? It's really a way of acting out a story. It's a public statement to friends, family, to the whole church. I belong to Jesus, going down into the water. My old life is gone. Coming up out of the water, my new life has begun. But it's not only a statement to people. It's not just a statement to us watching. It's also something you say straight to the Lord. It's something you say straight to God. And Peter puts it this way. Baptism is an appeal to God for a clear conscience. An appeal is when you reach up and you ask God for something. It's a cry. It's a request. So when you go down into the water, it's like reaching up to God and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Wash me clean inside. I'm trusting you, not myself. And notice, Peter is very careful here. He says, baptism saves not as the removal of dirt from the body. In other words, it's not water scrubbing you clean from the outside. It's your heart calling out to God in the inside, and God answering through the power of Jesus rising from the dead. That's why we practice at Good News Bible Chapel, believers baptism. You have to make that appeal yourself. Like Christine said, she had to make the choice to reach up and ask. Now I want you to think back to Buffy. Did the legal paperwork, the name change, make her part of Papa's home? No, she was already living there. The name change made official what had already happened. Baptism is sort of like that. It publicly shows with a special symbol something that's already happened on the inside. Baptized people, let me rephrase that. People who practice believers' baptism, right? They put their faith, they're saved people. They've been redeemed, and they belong to God's family. So, this is who you are as a church. It's defined by what's happening today. We are a church of the good news. It's even in our name, right? Good News Bible Chapel. We're a gathering of people who are being rescued, redeemed, and living into our new identity as members of Jesus' family, one body. Now, here's something I want you to hear. If you come to Jesus, you are adopted. You're adopted now, not someday, not when you've cleaned yourself up. Today, the Bible says you receive the spirit of adoption. You get to call God Father. You belong to his family this very morning. But the story isn't over. It's just getting started. Because before Jesus left, he made us a promise. He said, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me." Think about that. Right now, Jesus is getting a home ready for every one of his children. And right now, all over the world, he's expanding the number of his children. And he's gathering them in, one by one. And one day, he's going to come back and bring every last one of us home. And the Bible says that when he brings us home, he gives us a new name. A white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. A name so personal, so special, that it's just between you and him. Remember Buffy? She didn't just get rescued. She got a home. She got a family. She became a Morris. That's the promise for everyone who comes to Jesus. You belong to his family now. And one day he's going to bring you all the way home and give you a name that's yours forever. So here's my invitation this morning. First, maybe you're here today and you're still stuck in that old way of life, enslaved to sin, carrying something broken inside. And something in you wants to come home, to join Jesus, to be adopted, to take on a new name. The offer is right here in front of you. Reach out. Take Jesus' hand. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to understand everything. You just reach out. Just trust the one who died your death and rose for you. Commit today and step into a brand new adventure in his family. Second, maybe you're already in Jesus' family, but you've never been baptized. I want to invite you to take that step. In the Bible, baptism is so closely linked to the moment of salvation. This is what we see throughout the book of Acts and in the epistles. You know, somebody professes faith, and next thing you know, they're getting dunked in water. It went together like hand in glove. It really would have been unthinkable, I think, for early Christians, for a new believer to not get baptized. It would have been very foreign to them. The moment you said, "I believe in Jesus," the first thing you did was you got baptized. So if you've placed your faith in Jesus and you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to take part in that special initiation, that special blessing that Jesus himself instituted for you. And kids, listen closely, because the next part is for you. All right, kids? What we're doing today is not adult baptism. It's believer's baptism. And here's the difference. Believer's baptism isn't about how old you are. It's about faith. It's for anyone, young or old, or who has truly put their faith in Jesus and who wants to follow him. A person isn't the right age for baptism. A person is the right faith for baptism. And that means kids count too. If you love Jesus, if you trusted in him as your Savior, your rescuer, and you too want to follow him, then you too are not too young to belong to Jesus. And you're not too young to be baptized. We're going to leave this baptismal out for another week. So if you're here today, kid or grown up, and you've placed your faith in Jesus, and you want to be baptized, there's still time. Just come see me, or Brian, or Craig, or Mike, or Steve, or someone you trust. We would love to hear what God has done in your life. And if speaking in front of people scares you, and that if that's what's preventing you from being baptized, that's okay. You don't have to stand here and tell your story in front of everyone. We can record a video. Or if you write something down, you could have another person read it for you. You could have someone standing right next to you to support you. Or you don't have to say a word. You don't have to say a word at all. You can let baptism itself be your story. That you have joined Jesus' family and you want to share in his special gift. So I'm going to encourage you to take that step. It will bless you, and it's going to bless all your brothers and sisters here. Because around here, baptism is a story, and we never get tired of hearing what God is doing in people's lives. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for baptism, for this symbol, this precious gift that you gave us, that we can enjoy this together, Lord, that we can celebrate with one another someone's entering the family of God, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that for this symbolism of getting dunked in the water and being united to your death, and coming out of the water and being united to that new life that you give us all. Lord, that new life that frees us, Lord, from our old slave masters. We thank you for that, Lord. So I just want to pray for anybody here, Lord, who has never been baptized, who has never put their faith in you, whose heart is seeking to join your family, Lord, that they would take your hand, that they would take that step and step with you into that river, step into the water, Lord, and join you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.